Well, good morning. It is Thursday. You know what that means? Perspectives on WFSU-FM. Except for next week, of course, because it will be Thanksgiving and we'll all be taking off a little bit of time to kick back, relax, enjoy some time with friends and family, avoiding political conversations and indulging in unrestrained gluttony. I can feel it coming on, but that's next week. This week, we got some other things to talk about here on Perspectives. And by the way, if you want to be part of the proceedings, you are always more than welcome at 414-1234. That's the local number. If long distance between you and us, it's 800-926-8809. Email perspectives at WFSU.org or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Well, almost from the time back in 1824 when those two guys who were riding on horseback, remember them? Now, one from Pensacola, the other from St. Augustine, and they kind of stumbled upon the place that would someday become Tallahassee. Well, ever since then, a few things have kind of been conventional wisdom in this town. One of those things is, if all else fails, you can probably find a job with the state. Right? Okay. The other one is, Tallahassee is a boring, backwards, slow, nothing town that has absolutely nothing to attract or keep young people. Those were the two articles of faith in Tallahassee for a long, long time. But those bits of conventional wisdom are now under some serious attack because this is Startup Week in Tallahassee, and it's part of a community-wide effort to change those things and give an entirely new economic and entrepreneurial spin to Florida's capital city. So we put together a phenomenal panel. We're going to go around and talk to these folks, and we also want your input, too. If you are involved in a small entrepreneurial kind of activity and you want to talk about it and give yourself a little plug, that's perfectly okay. If you provide a resource to that community, we also want to hear from you. Maybe you're involved in an incubator or something like that. That would be terrific. And if you just want to talk to these folks and get some more information about how possibly you could start your own business from scratch, that's what they're here for. So let's go around the table and meet some terrific folks, starting with Susan Fiorito, director of the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship at Florida State University. Good to see you, Susan.
Good morning.
Speaking of entrepreneurs, we have Brian Wyatt, president and CEO of BEZ Graphics, also on the panel today. Hey, man.
Good afternoon.
It is good to see you. Thank you so much for coming in. Right next door to you, Samantha Strickland, CEO of The Pod down there on Park Avenue, a seething hotbed of entrepreneurial activity. Good to see you, Sam.
Good morning.
Now, a gentleman who can make you just about anything, if it's legal, of course, is sitting right next to Samantha, and that is David Brightville. He is visionary and founder of Making Awesome, which is Tallahassee's arts and technology makers community workshop. Hey, David.
Good morning, everybody.
And also, we welcome back to these microphones Daryl Jones, deputy director for Minority and Women Small Business Enterprise at the Office for Economic Vitality. Hey, Daryl.
Good morning. Good.
It is wonderful to have all of you here, and thank you so much for joining us on Perspective. Let's start with you, Daryl, just for that 30,000-foot overview here. You have been involved in entrepreneurial promotion and trying to get more of these kinds of things going, and here we are in Startup Week. So, doctor, your assessment of the condition of the patient, how are we doing there?
Well, I think, as my colleagues that sit around this table will tell you, this is a fantastic time. Really, we could really refer to this as the era of entrepreneurship here in our community. If we were to look at, I'm sure everyone would agree here, these last maybe 10 or so years, and most specifically these last four or five, there has been a fantastic energy where people are playing, where our community, our business community, offices like OEV, FSU, FAMU, TCC have all planted seeds, and now we're reaping an enormous harvest of brand new entrepreneurs, newpreneurs, social entrepreneurs. I mean, when you think about the enormous investment that is being made by both our government as well as our institutions of higher learning in entrepreneurship, we're now seeing the benefits of that great work. And so this is a great time. And so Startup Week gives us an opportunity here over the last 5 days to really highlight those successes, those successful businesses, those successful efforts, those persons who are a part of what we like to call the loop, who are helping businesses to build capacity and get their startup. It's a fantastic time for an entrepreneur in this community. And rightfully, we are described as one of the nation's leaders for entrepreneurial efforts. And that's not by accident.
Well, one of the first things that happened during Startup Week was down at Tallahassee Community College's Downtown Innovation Center. I love that name there. And David Brightbill, you were involved with that. We think of entrepreneurs as young people trying to maybe come up with the next killer app, or they open up a coffee shop down, you know, around Gaines Street or something. You were going from the manufacturing side of this whole equation, and nobody thinks of Tallahassee as a place where you make stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, when you compare Tallahassee to the rest of the state of Florida, you know, our metrics are that our manufacturing sector has been shrinking, whereas the manufacturing sector in the rest of the state has been expanding. And so, you know, these are manufacturing jobs are good jobs. They're blue-collar jobs. They're jobs that people who have good brains and good skills can get. And so we called together a town hall for people who make things for a living, and we had some amazing people that came, people that made guitars, people that made beer. We had a bread baker there. We had people that made apps, you know, because they're makers too, and we even had people from the city and county who make policy. So and I was there as a troublemaker. So.
Well, we certainly can crank out the paperwork in this town. That's one thing we're really good at making,
right, you know. Bureaucracy, yes, sir.
Yeah, a whole bunch. But I want to delve a little bit more into that, too, because that is a very unconventional way of looking at entrepreneurship in this town, because that has been, again, conventional wisdom. We don't make things anymore. We heard that specifically during the last political campaign, that the manufacturing sector had fled this country in droves and it was never coming back. But maybe it is in dibs and drabs and pieces here.
I think so. The maker movement is a worldwide movement, and there's you know, there's a lot of support, especially you know, from the top down. The Rand Corporation did a study on making and said that this is the best chance to revitalize the manufacturing economy here in this country. There's a lot of people that are making things here in Tallahassee, and they're building businesses. And you know, I'm really glad that we have economic development folks that are out trying to bring large businesses into Tallahassee. But when you look at the small businesses, the moms and pops and the, you know, three or four people working in a shop building something, that I think they bring in an equal amount. If you look at in aggregate, look at the entire ecosystem, I think that you find that the small folks bring a lot of value into the community, and also the money that the small folks bring into the community tends to bounce around the community more than, you know, the money that goes out of town at the end of the day. So I think that small business and small manufacturing is really, really important. It's something we should be focusing on and finding ways to encourage. You know, we encourage big business by giving them tax breaks and free land and stuff like that, but I think we need to figure out ways to encourage small businesses too.
Well, if you start any kind of an entrepreneurial place anywhere other than like your bedroom, you probably need some place to do that. And Samantha Strickland, that was kind of the whole idea of the pod, where you would provide space for startup businesses and entrepreneurs to come in and be part of your collective, hive, what?
Well, the pod started is still a full service advertising agency. But a year and a half ago, we expanded our footprint to include what we call a creative incubator. There's lots of business, creative thinkubator versus a business incubator. We serve the creative class that emerged during the Great Recession. And so many people were working out of their bedrooms and home offices or coffee shops. And we wanted to allow those entrepreneurs who wanted to work for themselves, but not by themselves, to have a home base away from home. So while the agency continues to serve clients all over the country, we work side by side and on teams with our members of CoLab because they too do what we do. So at times we're providing video production for a client or they're providing PR services for us. We collaborate, and that's where the name CoLab at the Pod came from.
Okay, so you kind of have your own internal customer base that you can provide services to, and maybe they can help you guys out too.
Exactly. So it's a wonderful creative energy at CoLab at the Pod, and it goes right along with the culture that we've really developed at the Pod itself for the last 7 years. So expanding that and including other members of the community allowed us to really be more involved in this community. Most of our clients are out of the market, so now we get to work side by side and on teams together with that creative class in our town.
Brian Wyatt, tell us the story of BEZ Graphics, your enterprise there.
Absolutely. BEZ Graphics is a full-service marketing agency with a strong social focus. We have a strong commitment to help make marketing easy and affordable for small businesses and nonprofits. And we do this with educational seminars because we educate our clients while we're working with them so they can learn more about marketing and branding. Because it doesn't do them any good if we provide them with the branding touch points like a logo, business card, website, and they don't know how to use them to communicate value to their target markets.
Okay, so you can provide that level of expertise. Now, how do you position yourself vis-a-vis someone like Samantha, who has also been in the business, or a Rick Oppenheimer, or a Karen Moore, any of those guys?
Well, that's one of the things I've been itching to discuss because the CoLab at the Pod has been a great resource to me. I'm often known as the guy in town with 9 children, so working from home can get very chaotic for me. So I often take time to get away and go to the CoLab at the Pod, and they create a great atmosphere, valuable for entrepreneurs like me. And moreover, there have been days where I would bring my children to work with me at the lab, the CoLab, and they have the Wii's there, a Wii game system, and my kids would go and play with the games while I sit and work. So it's a really, really good resource for me to save money while I'm working from paying for, you know, outrageous renting prices.
Sure, and as time goes forward, you can have one of the kids maybe focus on things like website development, and someone else can get into video production, and soon you have your own family-oriented business, right?
You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I do is test out a lot of my ideas with my children. For example, I curated a workshop called Kickstarting Cash Flow, and it's to help micro-enterprises start the cash flow process. And I tested it with the lemonade stand business plan for my daughter. And she developed a business plan and said, hey, we need $40 to start our lemonade stand. And we invested in her, and she made $150 in one day. And I used that same concept for other entrepreneurs, and they, you know, because usually people go and develop these 5-year projections, but instead of starting small. So.
And then she applied to the SBA and got a $50 million loan. And, you know, the rest is history,
there
as they say. Hey, we're talking entrepreneurship, small business, and startup week here on Perspectives. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809. Patty, you hang on the line. We'll get to you in just a moment. We are back on Perspectives. You know, it is Startup Week here in Florida's capital city. All kinds of stuff going on straight through tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And we'll give you the rundown of scheduling in just a little bit. Also, a reminder that WFSU is going to hold a listening party tonight. That's going to be at Domey Station. Now, there's no charge attendant to that, but it can fill up really fast, so please go to WFSU.org if you're interested in joining us, and there is a registration there you can do, and we'll get you on the guest list and all that kind of thing. Again, we are talking with Daryl Jones with the Office for Economic Vitality and David Brightbill, and he has the community workshop known as Making Awesome. Brian Wyatt, who is with BEZ Graphics, Samantha Strickland, CEO of the Pod, Susan Fiorito, who we'll talk to in a second. She's director of the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship. And we are joined by J.R. Sims, FSU student and director of Startup Grind. J.R., thank you for coming in, man. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's talk about Startup Grind. What the heck is that? Is this another coffee shop? What's the deal?
No. I do like coffee, though, so if it was, that'd be kind of cool. But Startup Grind is a Google-backed event. It's present in over 200 cities in the U.S. and 100 different countries. So having a Tallahassee chapter sort of really puts us on on that map. Basically what it is a monthly fireside chat with a local business owner or entrepreneur. And we talk about their experiences, you know, the things that they've gone through in starting their business. And it's a really great way to sort of share the stories of business owners in Tallahassee and share that with students and citizens in town.
You, how does that help as far as, because when we opened the program, we gave one of these old Tallahassee bits of conventional wisdom, which is, you know, small, sleepy, southern town, boring, out of here as soon as I graduate, going to Atlanta, Chicago, New York, someplace where stuff is happening, nothing for me here. Are you trying to switch that, flip that script there?
Yeah, I mean, I love Tallahassee. I love being here. Obviously, as a student, that's what brought me here, but I've really tried to invest in the community, and I certainly think that my experience as a student has been shaped more broadly by the community. So this is sort of my way of you know, and adding to that. I think from my perspective, Startup Grind sort of gives a platform to tell the stories in Tallahassee of entrepreneurs that are doing awesome things in town that people may not have heard of before. So last night we actually hosted Cuddlesoft. They're a product development firm that started in Tallahassee, and they're doing awesome things. They actually now have a presence in Colorado, but still have roots in town. And a lot of people don't know that, so it's a cool way to sort of share that and show, you know, maybe students that there is opportunity here and there's things that they can get involved with.
Well, we have another connection here to Florida State University. And, of course, that is Susan Fiorito, director of the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship, in the process of expanding and moving. And, oh, my gosh, a lot of stuff going on in your world, Susan.
Lots going on. And we're very privileged to be able to start the first school in the nation outside of college business, the School of Entrepreneurship. And this was started because of the very generous gift of Jan Moran and the Jim Moran Foundation that, with $100 million, is supporting both the Jim Moran Institute that works with small businesses around the state and also the school. We started our first class of undergraduate students, 80 students this fall, future entrepreneurs in commercial and social entrepreneurship. So we're very, very excited about the opportunity of being able to offer a degree in entrepreneurship.
Well, we want to also tap what you're doing as far as expanding that curriculum even into the retail sector and all that in just a moment. But speaking of retail, a retail artist in our community is Patty Maney. If you have animals, you probably have seen a Patty Maney painting or print somewhere around. Hey, Patty, welcome to Perspectives. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thanks, Tom. This is a great subject. And I wanted to tell people about the Tallahassee Downtown Market, because this is a place where lots of entrepreneurs get started, and the market has really grown up to be a beautiful thing right now. We've got people who are artists, of course, but then we have live music, and we also have some amazing vegan food, some butchers that are there, some bread cookers, just a little bit of everything that you could imagine as these entrepreneurs get started in that downtown area.
Well, Patty, one of the things that had come up in the just the past, I think, 2 or 3 months was a national study that showed that Tallahassee, Florida is one of the most receptive communities in the country when it comes to the arts. And what are you finding since you are out there hustling your great work all the time?
Oh, thank you. You know, I came from a bigger city and came to Tallahassee, and what I find is, as an artist, I can survive here and make a living with my art, where in the big cities, I couldn't afford to do it. And Tallahassee has been, you know, the market, it's on the corner of Monroe at Park Avenue each Saturday, and they have also given me a community of people, other artists, other entrepreneurs, that help get the word out for my art, but then we do that in turn for other people.
Okay, are you also hooked into Market Days this year?
Yes, I am, and that, of course, is a huge event where tons of entrepreneurs, I hadn't even thought of that, come out to the fairgrounds, and that's 2 days in a row that there are many opportunities to visit small businesses.
Okay, and that's coming up before the year-end holidays, and that's a benefit, of course, for the Tallahassee Museum. So trying to get as much stuff in here as we can, Patty. So.
Yes, that's great. Thank you so much. I just really appreciate you talking about this.
Well, thank you for calling in. And again, the arts are also an entrepreneurship opportunity for an awful lot of folks. And you don't necessarily need to have an Italian Viscount as a patron. Sometimes you can make it on your own, as Patty Maney did. And that's why I wanted to bring back to you, Daryl Jones, as we talk about this, that the entire warp and woof of entrepreneurship has gone well beyond what we thought it was, with the little ma and pa store on the corner, or dad doing some small engine repair out of his garage. We automatically think of that as entrepreneurship, but now it is a lot more than that, and that's what we're seeing this week.
Exactly. But now we don't want to forget mom and pop shops, and we don't want to forget any type of business. The beauty of a community like ours, we're able to embrace the expansiveness of human creativity through entrepreneurship, from technology businesses all the way down to the person who is a great baker and is able to harness that gift and passion and turn it into a business. And the beauty of what we find here, particularly when you look at the diversity found here at this table, not only is it in entrepreneurship important, but the resources that are made available in this community for entrepreneurs is also important. You have the Jim Moran Institute, but you also have Career Source. You have the FAMU Small Business Development Center. Of course, you have our office, the Office of Economic Vitality. You have so many resources that are made available, from financing to marketing to taking an idea and getting and taking it from just an idea to putting it to paper and putting that paper and turning that paper into a product, into action. And then you have a fantastic community that then also embraces that product and those services in this community. And that's what I think is what we are seeing here in our community most clearly now, that there's a great emphasis from our neighbors to support their neighbors.
Well, we're seeing things like what you just mentioned, as far as having resources to, I know how to do this particular thing in the business, whether it's, say, marketing, what I'm thinking there, Brian, or something like that, but I have no idea how to set out a business plan and make that work, or how to go about even recruiting help, and how do I do payroll, and all those kinds of things, which are part and parcel of this. But one thing we're missing, and you mentioned this before we went on the air, David Brightbill, is where do I do it beyond the incubator and the pod type of situation? If I want to have a storefront, where can I afford that in Tallahassee? Because the rents, the square footage is going insane right now.
Right. And you know what's happening is a lot of the traditional places where small businesses started up and where they were able to afford space are going away. They're, you know, getting torn down, and large retail and apartment complexes are taking the space of those places. And so it's a real problem. And I think it's something that as a community, we should be addressing here. If you look at communities like Austin, they've done a good job of preserving. Dallas even has done a good job of preserving some of their you know, less expensive space and space that's just a little bit, you know, a little bit different than the corporate space that's around. So I think it's something we need to be looking at. And there's not much of that left in Tallahassee, and we need to work on trying to preserve what we can. And it's difficult because property owners want to get the maximum return on the property they've purchased, you know. But on the other hand, you know, that's kind of it's kind of bad for the entrepreneurs that are trying to find a place to work.
Sure. We just saw, in fact, the article in this morning's Democrat about the folks who have the Sage restaurant moving into Brian Ballard's building downtown.
I saw that.
Yeah. And, you know, which is really exciting. But those guys have some major resources behind them. I don't think Brian is letting that one go for, you know, $15 a square foot. not on that corner, which is the heart of downtown. So, Samantha Strickland, do you hear that from some of the folks maybe who have been part of the pod and have moved on, and they're trying to get their own digs together, and that is a challenge for them? Or,
well, I can speak to it from my own experience. When I I was the head of marketing at First Commerce Credit Union for nearly 13 years. And when I decided to go out on my own, I knew I wanted to work for myself. So I set up my beautiful home office and very quickly felt very lonely and wanted to be surrounded by other people. So I stepped out and got an office space and quickly needed more office space. And the overhead grew so quickly. And so I wish that something like what we have now at Colab or Domi or several of the other options, even Regis here locally, had been available for me. Because I know that it was a huge part of planning and even the growth of the company when you have to take into account so much overhead for the for office space. But you almost have to have that in order to be successful, especially as a service industry person like myself. So anyway, yes, I hear that. And that's one of the reasons that people come and enjoy the shared space, because they can work alongside other people. They have access to a beautiful conference room to meet with clients. They have access to the cafe that's sponsored by Catalina, another local startup. So it's a great energy amongst the members, and you know that creative juices going.
Sure. Well, Brian White, we know how you got your things set up there, but JR, for you and your business there, how do you make that work? Where do you set up shop and do your thing?
Sure. So as a student, I just live in student housing and have some roommates and that sort of thing. Startup Grind specifically is really just it's a community event. It's not a business. It's sort of just made up of these monthly chats to echo the stories that I was talking about earlier. But what I've noticed in the community is the opportunity to collaborate with the CoLab or Domi Station, or last night the INI opened up their space over at the TCC Center for Innovation so that we could have Startup Grind. And that allowing somebody like me to have that opportunity to bring these events to the city in a way that's affordable and accessible to, you know, those that want to attend is certainly a benefit.
Susan Fiorito, how do other communities handle something like that, where there is a need for commercial space, affordable commercial space, and yet because of redevelopment and other things, that's getting really tough to find?
I think some a very unique and growing trend are similar to food trucks. You know, they don't have a solid retail space, and they move from place to place. And we're finding more and more retail businesses that are being mobile and opening their businesses in old school buses and traveling from city to city. We have pop-up stores that are going on around town. So some of these opportunities, I think we have to be creative, and our entrepreneurs are creative, and certainly our students are very creative at FSU. But I think there's lots of opportunities, not only selling online, but having a visible face-to-face presence in a variety of opportunities.
Okay, and Brian, is that something you're looking at once you what is it? You hatch from the pod and take off on your own, that you're looking at those kinds of options as a place where you can do Be Easy graphics on the go or something like that?
Absolutely. There's a lot of value in doing that, in having a lean business model. And by doing that, I'm able to meet clients where they are, and they often value that face-to-face interaction versus working remotely. And I found that I've built stronger brand loyalty and relationships with my customers when I meet with them face-to-face, and we can take care of a week worth of going back and forth about email and meeting in one place in one sitting. So.
The marketing solution that comes to you.
I'm going to use that.
I am really, really cheap. I will give it to you here for just a song. But that, what else do we have as far as, again, we're looking at a redevelopment here of this particular community. And as you have things like down on Gaines and Madison, this whole college town, which is very, very pricey, does that open up new sectors of the community, perhaps, for these sorts of things to take off? Because you can't run everything out of a school bus all the time. You need some kind of home base. Other than home. Any ideas, guys? I'm just throwing that open as a...
Well, I think that the incubators are a really good thing. And I know in our space, we're a manufacturing incubator, and we have things like 3D printers and CNC machines and stuff like that. You know, we've had quite a few success stories. People have come in. But sadly, most of the folks who have started businesses in our space and developed products have moved away from Tallahassee. And it's because, you know, for various reasons, but part of it was the capital was available to them elsewhere, and part of it was that that space was available to them elsewhere. So I really think we need to be looking. I think the South Adams corridor is a really interesting spot. There's some space along Lake Bradford a little further to south of the FSU stuff that's, I think, maybe is going to come available one of these days. So there's some new neighborhoods that I think we can put some energy into here in Tallahassee. And, if done right, and, if we kept the Tallahassee for Tallahassee and not for, the multinational corporations, I think we might actually have some successes.
Well, Patricia joins us here. I think she has some ideas along that line. Hey, Patricia, thanks for calling and welcome.
Yeah, Todd, thanks. I think this topic is so important, and we do need creative space. A school bus will not do it. I think that when a lot of property becomes developed in the way that Tallahassee is becoming developed, like College Town, with real estate investment trusts, you do push out all the creatives. So I think your last speaker with thoughts of South and West for less expensive real estate is important. So I just wanted to add to that, and I don't have any solutions except that when I look around, it does seem that all of the available spaces are disappearing and being redeveloped.
Yeah, that seems to be part of our current, the way of the world here in Tallahassee. Thanks for that, Patricia. But we've seen this in a couple of other communities. Tallahassee's own Railroad Square being an example of that, that was a throwaway light industrial area that, David, you helped redevelop with what you were doing there with Making Awesome and having it as a focus of creativity. And it was quirky and cool, and it's still a fun place to hang out, and it's just a singularly Tallahassee way of approaching this.
Yeah, it's in Austin, they say, keep Austin weird. And I think that our little spot of weirdness in Tallahassee is Railroad Square. And, it's I know there's a lot of pressure. The folks that own property out there, I'm sure they're getting a lot of interest from the big development companies about tearing that space down and doing something else there. I hope they hang on, and hope we can find a way to keep that space like it is. But, we'll see.
And keep Railroad Square odd.
There we go.
414-1234, the number for Perspectives, 800-926-8809. Startups and entrepreneurship, more on the way, right here on Perspectives. Small business, it's a wonderful thing. And I remember you were talking about getting the kids involved, Brian, with your thing, because that's what my dad did. He had this little combination school supply and office supply store back in the days before anything like Office Depot or Staples existed. And it was in a small town. And, of course, he had a very thin margin, right? So he filled his staffing needs by bringing me on deck when I was like 10. And so, clean up that floor, do this, do that. But you sure learned the business from the inside out real quick. And now, are we seeing more of that, Daryl? That what was old is new again? The family owned or the young person, single proprietor type of business that now is starting to fill in these gaps that are not being met by the big national chain stores and stuff?
Well, as our community continues to grow, we'll always require service industries and service professionals, whether it is janitorial, construction trades, there'll always be a space for them. What I think is real important is that because those of us who comprise what we describe as the ecosystem are talking to one another and are collaborating to the benefit of entrepreneurs, whatever your idea is and whatever your demographic or scope that you intend to serve, there are resources made available such that you can meet their needs, make your market aware of your providing those services. And that's what I think is key. I'll give you a perfect example. He's sitting here at the table with us. Brian Wyatt, with his marketing business, he's been able to, and I'm going to brag on him for a moment because I'm very proud of him. One of the things that he's been able to do is be able to find that niche, those businesses that really require his services and his expertise, and he has a tailor-made plan for them to help them to build capacity. And he has a formula for their success. He's able to communicate that to this target audience of businesses. Certainly, he can serve any type of business with his marketing expertise, but he's found his specific niche. And so he does that common thing uncommonly well. And that's what I tell anybody who goes into business for themselves, that they should do that common thing uncommonly well. And then when we get them at what we call it OEV, get them in the loop, we send them to the FAMU Small Business Development Center, well, who will help them to write their business plan. Then they'll use his expertise, as he's on staff there, to help them to market their business. Then there are persons at the FAMU Small Business Development Center who will then also help them to identify financing resources. Then we then send them over to CareerSource. If they have some staffing needs, CareerSource is able to meet their staffing needs. And so here, when they come out of the box, because of all the resources that are made available to them in the loop, they start out a whole lot better. And then when you have programs like the Jim Moran Institute and its executive leadership program, you have people like the CoLab Pod who through mentoring and exchange and discussions amongst entrepreneurs, it also helps them to build capacity and help them to move towards success better, smarter, and wiser.
Mm-hmm. And then you have things like J.R. Sims and the Startup Grind, and you are getting that word out that, hey, if you want to start your business, why not consider right here as soon as you get out of Florida State or FAM or TCC or whatever, that there is that kind of supportive environment in this community that can help you to do that.
Yeah, and I would say Daryl highlighted it very well. From my experience, I had the opportunity to go through the Get Started program at Domi Station. So that was where I started a business plan for the venture that I had, and was really able to learn about, you know, discovering customers, and that sort of got me connected within Tallahassee. But I would also echo what David was saying about access to capital, because I think that's a huge problem with startups in Tallahassee, and that's a pain point for them. And that's a big reason why a lot of them go elsewhere. And so I think that needs to be a part of the conversation more, because although there are unbelievable resources in town to help people get started, no pun intended, but, you know, you have to continue to build upon that once you actually have your business. And at some point, if a startup reaches that sticking point, you know, they have to make a decision. And it would be cool if that capital was something that was accessible here in town.
Yeah, that was something, I think, what Small Business Administration said, that 95% of small businesses don't live to see their fifth birthday, primarily because of undercapitalization. Samantha Strickland, you were with First Commerce Credit Union. You saw this stuff firsthand. What is the environment locally for financing and capitalization for small business and entrepreneurship?
Well, I can speak to it again very recently. As we expanded to have CoLab, we went through the SBA process for getting a loan to expand. And it is painful. It's not just a pain point. It is painful. And we had already been in business more than 5 years and had everything, all of our ducks in a row. We do serve credit unions all over the country. And what I would encourage people to take a look at is more and more credit unions are now serving businesses.
Right.
Historically, that was not the case. And I think it's become universally understood that for consumers, there's a lot of benefits for lower fees and things of that nature, better loan rates on the consumer side. But that's also the case for the businesses now. About 30%, 25 to 30% of credit unions now, I believe, are offering business services. So certainly give that a look. I mean, First Commerce has been a real leader in that here locally, as well as Envision and FSU Credit Union. They're doing everything. So
Tallahassee Federal has a micro lending program.
So yes, it's definitely something to take a look at and find those resources that may not be the traditional routes, because those can be quite painful.
Yeah, but you also need a plan to amortize that financing there. And so, Susan Fiorito, that's where really institutions like Jim Moran come in to say, okay, this is great. You got all this free money, but you're going to have to pay it back, and you have to figure out how to do that in the context of your business. So that's a huge part of your instructional offering that you got.
In our school, too, we require students to start a business their junior year, and we fund it for them. And so it's really a point of pride for those students to pay back that money at the end of the year. They have to keep a business a whole year. If they fail, they have to start another one. So they learn from their failures, and we start them small. And then with that, just that experience, they are learning what the community can offer. The Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce, by the way, has given our students free memberships to the chamber, all 80 of our new students, in order to connect them with the community so they will stay. So we have all these bright students in the community who have already started a business in school, who many of them want to continue when they go out. But the chamber then is helping them connect to the community, to make them feel like they're part of the community. And their creativity will be able to enhance the community and to work through some of the wonderful support systems that we have. In addition, we're also offering a summer camp for high school students. So we feel that, you know, entrepreneurship starts early. And so we want to encourage that and help grow that pipeline of very creative and innovative students in Tallahassee.
Well, Startup Week is not yet over. So what other events are going on here for the balance of this week? Anyone have we don't have to go through the comprehensive schedule. That's available online, of course, but some highlights maybe that people would be interested in popping in and seeing what's going on.
It's been quite a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tomorrow morning, the Tim Rowe event is a big one over downtown at the Innovation Center at TCC at 8:30 in the morning. So if assuming tickets are still available, that's
going to... I think they are available.
And there's a showcase in the afternoon on the second floor of the building there of where startups are coming to show off what they're doing and some of the organizations that help startups. And so we hope that folks show up for that, too.
And I will be following Tim Rowe's presentation to give one about brand development. If anyone's interested, they can come and learn about how to create and communicate value to their customers at 10:30 at the TCC Center for Innovation.
He did a great job for us on Tuesday, the second day of Startup Week, with his Marketing 101 class. We had a packed house, and they were eager. So all of them had a variety of different businesses, and he just gave them some tips. Just simple common sense tips to just help them to build capacity. And what I've also found about our entrepreneurship, our entrepreneurial community, they are eager.
Yeah.
They are very interested. They are investing their heart, their lives, their finances into these businesses. And so when available, they are anxious to get as much information as they can so that they can be better business owners, so they can be successful.
And that's totally different, again, from the old paradigm, which was you were just in brilliant isolation. You started this by yourself. You struggled. You tried to power your way through all the obstacles and the challenges, and it was you against the world. And here it just seems like a much more supportive and collaborative kind of thing.
And I think that's what makes Tallahassee very, very special, is because of this type of environment. I mean, Samantha Strickland has been a marketing guru in this town for a long time. The fact that she then takes her space to then extend it, to then collaborate with other persons in and outside of her field, bringing their expertise to bear under her same roof, that's indicative of the kind of spirit that we have here in Tallahassee, that sense of collaboration, that we're not entirely in competition, but they say a rising tide lifts all ships. So I think you really had that type of entrepreneurial spirit. The climate that exists here is really embodied in her CoLab pod because of what she's able to do in that space. And everybody, it's not just a business, it's a resource. right? And so I just think that that shows you the kind of mind that we have here in this community, yeah, the kind of climate we have.
And David Brybill, you did that too with Making Awesome, where, you know, okay, you don't have your own 3D printer. That's not a problem. Come on in. Use ours.
Right. We have people doing everything from building furniture to building electronic gizmos to building art, you know, and it's a real nice space. But we're we're a bootstrap organization, a bootstrap nonprofit. So we started this with absolutely no outside funding, just donations from people who are interested in trying to get the thing going, and the membership fees that people pay to our organization. So it's a little bit different than some of the other organizations in town. We are totally self-supported. We live on a shoestring, and our budget's very small, and we have currently no paid employees, except we have a part-time bookkeeper because the money part's important.
But labors of love are important, too, in this whole environment.
That's true. Yes, sir.
Okay. Just a few minutes remaining here, folks. Just wanted to do a quick around the table and see how you see this playing out here in the next 5-10 years, although who can even look 6 months in advance as quickly as things are going? But let's start with you, Susan Fioretti. How do you, with Jim Moran now expanding and offering more things and moving from hither and yon, but how do you see this community playing out long term?
Well, small business is the backbone of this country. It always has been, and it will continue to be. And now people are starting to recognize the value of that, and people being able to work in something that they're passionate about will make happier individuals, will make more successful businesses, and that's what we want to foster through our program at FSU.
Okay, and Brian White, you're going to be an intergalactic marketing superstar. You will have clients like General Motors and Boeing and all that, right?
Well, no, I'm going to stick with small businesses. I want to stay small and local. That is the goal of my business, and just pass it down to my family. And I'm grateful to be in Tallahassee with a town that supports all of that. And I think if I could give a creative outlook on how it would turn out, I think the turning point will be when all the different resources in communities for entrepreneurship in Tallahassee begin to take on a shared responsibility to reshape Tallahassee's entrepreneurial economy, that will be the turning point where entrepreneurship is going to be welcome here. There's going to be capital. There's going to be commercial space. There's going to be innovation. And a new term that I'm introducing is renovation, R-I-N-N-O-V-A-T-I-O-N. And that's where you take a creative idea and you rethink it and put it back out there. And I think that's going to reshape the entrepreneurial economy here in Tallahassee.
Okay. J.R. Sims, what do you see?
Yeah, I would echo what Brian is saying. And we had the FSU Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship had their 7 Under 30 event the other day. And one of the speakers, Sam Nebel, actually came out all fired up. And he said he made this bold prediction that in 4 years, the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship would be the number one school for entrepreneurship in the country. And, you know, he had all the students real fired up about it. But I think that's awesome. But what I would like to see is more collaborations between FSU and Florida A&M and TCC. You know, we have things like Florida A&M and the IO Avenue and, you know, what they're doing with that. And I think that those are the types of things in this city that can really propel it forward.
Yeah, so many things, but that connection, how do you forge those connections, those collaborations? Oh, you're already doing that. Cool. That's something we don't have to do. Let's bring you in and you can handle that part of it and all that sort of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Samantha Strickland.
Well, everyone said pretty much what I would echo, but I would speak from this position of Startup Week Tallahassee. And I hope that next year and beyond, it becomes even a tighter, more programmed process so that there's more information about it even sooner, and there's all these groups collaborating together. You know, right now it's been a loosely formed group that has made this happen, I think, for the second year in a row. And so I hope to see in 4 or 5 years this being something that the community looks forward to, and it's just happening in all over the community.
Okay, David Brightfield.
I think that one thing we've not really touched on, I just want to just throw this out and as my last thing, and that's that in addition to the financial resources, in addition to real estate, in addition to you know, all the supportive organizations. But the other thing that's going to keep young folks in the community is culture. And I think we need to as a community, you know, focus on that too, and encourage cultural events, encourage more music, encourage more theater, encourage, you know, other events, more art displays and things like that. I think that's also going to help make Tallahassee a cooler place and a place that people want to stick around in.
If I could just jump in real quick, I totally agree. And I think from the perspective of an FSU student, it's very hard to get FSU students outside of essentially campus to go to things like First Friday Art Walk at Railroad Square or, you know, other events that we have in town. So I would totally agree with that.
Okay. And one last word here, Daryl.
Well, I've got to talk about minority and women-owned businesses. Minority-owned businesses make up 14% of our local small businesses, and women-owned businesses make up 23%. And I think that we're going to see that number increase because of the services that are made available that we're, you know, for a long time, and I know Sam has been here with me, and we've seen this, a lot of these services have operated. They were really secrets, right? But now that we're doing more to, you know, through the Office of Economic Vitality and others, we're making these services made aware. People are being made aware of the resources that are available in their community. And so I think that people, when they have these great ideas, they don't have to just go to Shark Tank, right, to live out their dream. They can go right here in our community and go to a pitch night like we had here at Startup Week, and that they can go to the Jim Moran Institute or to the School of Entrepreneurship or the FAMU Small Business Development Center and the Office of Economic Vitality. And so I think we're going to see those numbers increase because there's a place for them.
And that will bring our program to a conclusion, folks. Thanks so much, and happy Startup Week, everybody. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. We had Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls today. I'm Tom Flanagan. We're off next week for Thanksgiving, but certain to be plenty of leftovers remaining. So please join us on the 30th of November. Chef Shaq comes in to give us a few ideas on how to do those leftovers and get ready for the holidays. Take care.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.